case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
I ain't giving up, I'll tell you that. Saints taking on the Panthers this weekend. Our coverage starts at 8 o'clock. Mike Dettelier is going to be part of that coverage. He joins us now. I guess we're getting it started now. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you.
Let's talk about the Panthers before we get into the game and the state of disrepair that that team is in. How did they get to where they are?
Tommy, it didn't take much. And it all fell apart for them. Bad drafts. And Jerry Richardson, the original owner, had to sell. And
he was an NFL player.
He had a lot of money.
He was an NFL player, Jerry Richardson, was he not? Do I remember
yes.
that right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was with the old Baltimore Colts. Okay. And he ended up selling. And, man, ownership says a lot in the NFL. They got a live wire, no insulation owner. And he has been very impatient. He has meddled in number of draft choice and free agent decisions, and it has hit rock bottom. Basically, that's what's happened. And he was the main guy, because I do think then head coach Frank Wright wanted C.J. Stroud as the first overall pick. But I think the owner got himself involved, and he said, no, I want Bryce Young. He's going to put butts in the seats, and that's who I want. And when the boss says that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And so, you got where you stuck today. And their offensive line, I'll be honest, that's the strength of their football team. They've spent a lot of money and some early round picks on offensive linemen. They got a pretty good offensive line, very good. But after that, everything else is really, really bad. And in a strange decision this week with a healthy Andy Dalton, who has practiced the last two practices, they decided they're going back to Bryce Young as the starter. In a press conference or interview after the workout yesterday, Andy said, I'm ready to go. I'm healthy. But I will not play in the game. He had basically been told not playing. So guess where that came from?
Yep.
So you are where you are today. Listen, we had one here in New Orleans for years.
Mike, I was John getting
Newcomb
ready.
Jr.
I was getting
John
ready.
John Newcomb Jr. was exactly like him.
Yep, make that comparison, because today is All Saints Day, as you well know.
Yep.
David Tepper is a hedge fund manager. He's 67 years old, not to criticize, just telling you. He's got a 36-year-old wife. God bless him. I don't know what they talk about other than, you know, money. I don't think he's got a football background at all. And I feel, in a way, you got to feel bad for the fans of North Carolina. Yeah, the Panthers, because there's nothing anybody can do, right? I mean, he owns a team. He's a billionaire, $60-something billion dollars he's worth, $36 billion, I think.
So this is a Diliberto line, because back then, if you were a sports writer or on television, you could get in touch with the commissioner, actually speak to him. And Buddy had told me numerous times he had gotten on the phone and told then Commissioner Pete Rozelle, you got to do something about John Newcomb Jr. You got to do something. And he said, Buddy, I can do a lot of things, but I can't make a bad owner sell. Mm-hmm. And no one else can. And so David Tepper at one time was a minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was his connection to the NFL. He had bought a piece of the Pittsburgh Steelers years ago. And so many of the owners knew him and knew he had deep pockets. And so when ownership came up, when Richardson had to sell, he was able to buy it.
David Tepper played touch football in the streets and tackle football in a nearby cemetery. That's his football experience. But yet, if he got the money. And look, the commissioner, make no mistake about it, works for the owners, and I think the owners are afraid that if one turns on the other and forces somebody to sell a team, who knows where it leads, right?
Correct. I mean, the only time, this was a couple years back, well, 2 years ago, you could say, Dan Snyder basically got forced to sell the Washington Commanders. He had so many issues with him.
But that was beyond that, mismanagement of the team.
Way beyond mismanagement. But he was forced to sell the team. But he said, I'll sell it, but only at my price. Mm-hmm. You're not going to force me to do anything. So he got his price, and he ended up selling to Josh Harrison and the group that Mr. Harris had pieced together. But, yeah, once you stuck with an owner, you might think you have the power as a fan or whatever to get him to sell. It's not going to happen. They own the team. And like I said, hey, we had that happen right here in New Orleans for over 20 years.
And, you know, I'm not trying to run this guy down or anything like that, but Tom Benson, at least, didn't have football experience, but he had business experience. He bought and sold things. This hedge fund manager, he just kind of worked with math and derivatives, and that's not the way a business works. That's certainly not the way the NFL works, at least on the field part of it.
The worst thing is, I think, Tommy, that when you've made that type of money, you've made it fairly quick. And I think Mr. Tepper feels as though that the same thing will happen in sports, that I can turn this around like I have in other businesses and other things I've invested in. And it's not necessarily the case. You kind of got to know what you're doing and put really good people in place. The one thing you can say with Tom Benson, he got Jim Finks. Mm-hmm. Jim was an experienced NFL guy, and he knew the lays of the land of the NFL. And that really, really put this franchise, its opening couple of steps, even though they were, you know, basically 20 years old, it took them that long to get it. But Tom Benson was smart enough to bring in somebody that knew what he was doing, and Jim Finks knew what he was doing.
Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I guess it's good for the Saints. They're going back to Bryce Young, right?
Yeah, I think Andy Dalton gave them the best chance to win.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with Mike Dettelier talking about the Saints-Panthers game. Our coverage starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, kickoff high noon. Please do yourself a favor. Turn down the sound. Turn up. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister, who a lot of times can predict stuff before it happens, and Jeff Nowak on the sideline, they know the team, and you're going to get more insight into the game than you will from whomever's working the game this weekend on the TV. 821 traffic now.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
WWL. 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Mike Dettelier about the Saints-Panthers game coming up on Sunday. Already we know that it's going to be Bryce Young back to playing quarterback, not the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, whom Mike said, and I agree with him, I think would have a better chance at beating the Saints. But that being said, Mike, it's the NFL. Saints can't just roll their helmets on the field and expect to walk away with a win.
Tommy, I said this on Sports Talk last night, and I think I've done four shows in the Charlotte area that, you know, they're talking about if the Panthers have a path to another win this year, it's mm-hmm. the Saints. Mm-hmm. And people here are saying just the same thing about the Panthers. Hey, this is a shot to get a W up on the board and try to piece something together. So, yeah, you know, they're talking about, hey, we think we got a shot here against New Orleans. And, you know, when you do shows and take calls and texts and everything, hey, you got to beat the Panthers because of how bad they are. So, yeah, it's kind of verse vice, as they would say, on both sides.
And all of that David Tepper stuff, that's got nothing to do with the guys that are putting on the equipment and having tape out there on themselves, and they got pride, right? I mean, you would hope they do.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference in years past, the Carolina Panthers always had a really good defense. Their defense, no matter what they had on offense, their defense was really good. You can't say that this year. They lousy. And it's funny, before the season started, I got Jake Delhomme to come on the show, and there were people that were picking them to win 5 or 6 games, and Jake was like, 5 or 6 games? Who's picking them to win 5? There's no way they're going to win 5 or 6 games this year. And Jake made the comment, and he's part of the Panthers radio network. He said they would be lucky to win 2 to 3. Now he could see that there wasn't a lot of talent on this team. There was some young players that could possibly develop. But even Jake kind of laid it out that this isn't a very good football team. And he sort of forecasted that they're going to have some major difficulties.
Let me get back to that in a minute. I want to talk about Chuba Hubbard. He's on his way to a 1,000-yard season, seemingly. I think he's like at 539 yards rushing so far, about halfway through the season. How hard is it going to be for the Saints to contain him?
That's part of the victory. You got to stop the running game of the Panthers, because that's what they do pretty well. And Chuba Hubbard has really played well this year. But he's playing behind a pretty good offensive line from a run-blocking standpoint. The other part about it is there is a good chance that they get their second-round pick, Jonathan Brooks, back. Jonathan was a second-round pick from Texas. He tore his ACL in November of last year. And he was my 22nd overall-rated player. Mm-hmm. But I knew he wouldn't get picked in round one because of the ACL injury. So he fell into the second round. He is practicing, so he's looking pretty good. That's a really strong 1-2 punch if you can get Brooks and Chuba Hubbard in the lineup. That, for the Saints, got to stop the run, and you got to have a running game, because the Panthers are vulnerable to teams just sort of pounding away at them. And then once they do that, safeties cheat up, throw the ball over the top.
And if you got, Chuba Hubbard or Jonathan Brooks running the ball, doesn't really matter whether it's Andy Dalton or Bryce Young. If you can't stop that, you're dead in the water. So we'll talk about it when we come back. Mike Dettillier, our guest, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Derek Carr is supposed to be back. Steve Geller, on his sports report, named a couple of cornerbacks that the Saints could call up. I looked them up and I couldn't find them, so I don't know. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier about that as well. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, we will talk to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining for the Times, speaking of New Orleans Advocate. And we'll wrap it up getting you some weekend winners with JR from Taking Vegas. 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:44, 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker talking to Mike Dettillier, talking about the Carolina game coming up on Sunday, noon kickoff. Our coverage starts at 8 on WWL. Mike, when it comes to, I was mentioning earlier that Steve Geller was talking about the Saints bringing up a couple of guys from cornerback, I've never heard of them. Tell me about the Carolina receivers and who the Saints could be looking at starting a cornerback.
Well, because of all the injuries, Tommy, you're always going to have injuries. But when it hits in one place, like the Saints have at cornerback, you go into your practice squad, you go out looking for veterans. That's why they signed Trey Herndon this week. Trey was a guy I scouted coming out of Vanderbilt. He was an undrafted free agent, and he played a number of seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars, actually started there for a while. And they just picked him up. And Shamir John-Charles, who was in the Saints camp, he got into the training camp period. He was cutting the last cut for them. And he's played with Green Bay, San Francisco, and, training camp and preseason with the Saints. But you all beat up there. So you need those veteran corners who have sort of bounced around. They've been journeymen. Panthers receiving core, the one guy that sticks out to me is Xavier Leggett, who was their first-round pick. They moved up in round one to get him from South Carolina. Thickly built receiver. He's got some speed. He's learning how to run NFL routes. They do have Adam Thielen, but he's been hurt also. So, they got Trey Sanders at tight end. another rookie from Texas. Their receiving core is not great, and they got a young rookie from the Ivy Leagues also has made some catches, who was on the practice squad for a while. So, you know, it's not like you're going up against Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase here. But first things first, stop the run, and then you put some pressure on Bryce Young and see whoever's playing receiver for him, they're going to have some difficulties.
Why have they had so much trouble stopping a run?
Tommy, it's a great question. They have spent a lot of capital on the interior of that defensive line and bringing in Nathan Shepard, okay, Colin Saunders from Kansas City. Shepard came from the Jets. You spent a first-round pick on Brian Bresee. And Brian's sort of what the scouting report said about him, athletic. He's a huge guy, and he can run the field. But the way he's built, he gives you a lot of body coming off the snap to get under and move around against the run. And he's got to just learn how to play lower, because if he's in there, I'm running the ball right at him. Mm-hmm. Now, he can maybe get my quarterback as a pass rusher, and he's pretty good with that. But as a run stuffer, he's still – learning how to play lower, because if you cut out of that snap high and he's 6'5" plus, and you know, those guards and centers are going to get under him and move him around. Personnel hasn't lived up to the billing against the run. Bottom line.
I don't think you have to be Vince Lombardi to realize that if one team can't stop the run, then the other team's going to keep running it down their throat until they do. So,
yeah, and for all the talk about this has become a pitch-and-catch league, and to a certain extent it really has. Man, look who's getting paid today. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, a lot of money.
But
it is back to old school, and I hear it the last couple years – when they have Louisiana line camp here at Nicholls State and Thibodeau, we've probably got a dozen coaches, NFL coaches, and their deal is this game is changing, and it's gradually going back to what they still got the pitch and catch part of it, but teams are running the football because you know what? NFL teams got smaller on defense. They're trying to match up against the three wide receiver sets, the flex tight end. So you got smaller. The linebackers today look like safeties in a lot of cases.
Yep.
So as you get smaller, guess what I do? I pound the ball at you with big guys.
Action.
And so now you've got to adjust.
Action and reaction, right? Cyclical?
Correct.
And you'd have to be beyond a damn fool. And look, I see it all the time in college football. You see it too, Mike, in the NFL. Man, you're picking up 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry. So what are you going to do after 3 first downs? Start throwing it. Why? Why would you do that? Do you understand that?
You sound just like Mark Schlereff. Because Mark, you know, he does games for Fox, and he's a weekly visitor with us on Sports Talk. And he's told me, Mike, I've been hired like a consultant for some teams, and they say they want to run the ball, but really don't. They run it a couple times. They get 5 yards total, but then they go back to throwing it. He said, you know, it's got to be – they wear you down. If anybody watched the Tulane game last night, good gracious, Charlotte had no shot. Tulane's drives, they were multi, like 10, 11, 12-play drives on every one. And that wears you down defensively. And the same thing in the NFL. Man, when you play the Ravens and they decide they're going to run the football with Derrick Henry and they got Lamar Jackson, good luck with that. You got some issues there. And I think it has been a part. The Saints didn't think this through when they went to this Kubiak system, because what you had to have depth at running back, and you had to have depth along the offensive line. Those positions up front are going to get hurt, and you basically got everybody injured. But then you had no depth at running back. If you're going to run that system, you have to know what you got to have to run that system. And that's where it failed here. Look at the 49ers. They're not the same team as a year ago, but they're successful in offense. They can still run the ball.
Let me take a break real quick, Mike. We'll pick it up. We come back with the Saints offense. And people that don't understand this, offensive lineman mentality is once you start, and I don't want to say what Kelsey guy had to say on TV because it was a little bit off color, but once, you know what I'm saying? Once you dominate the guy in front of you, and that's how offensive linemen think, they want to keep doing it. And it's more about pure physical force than it is technique when it comes to run blocking. And when you're on a roll, don't stop. I don't know why they do, but they do. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 856, 4 till 9, wrapping it up with Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. And, of course, he'll be on with the Saints pregame coverage. Starts at 8 o'clock on Sunday. Mike, tell me about Derek Carr, Saints offense, and the Carolina defense, and how likely you think it is that the Saints win.
Well, I'm going to go back to the running game. Mm-hmm. The Washington Commanders have been a surprise this year, and certainly Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do is phenomenal. But a big reason why the Commanders are successful, they're one of the top three teams rushing the ball in the NFL. Now, Jaden's a big part of that, too, because, man, when he takes off, he scares you. But they've been able to pound the ball into something. Dan Quinn, when he took the job, said, we are going to run the football. I can guarantee you. And they're one of the top three rushing teams in the NFL today. And, again, Daniels is a part of that. But it goes to show you, when you got that running game, what you can do off of it. And a lot of play action and being able to throw the football. Derek Carr looks as though he's enrolled that he is going to start against the Panthers. And, you know, after watching the two young guys, you know, Derek Carr gives you the best chance to win. Mm-hmm. And no matter how you cut it, for now, he gives you the best chance to win. And you need this win. You need to get a W up on the board. Tommy, I cannot remember a team that wins their first two games, loses the last six, and they are 7.5-point favorite on the road. Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
You are 7.5-point favorite over a team, and you've lost six straight. That's what the people who they earn their money, that's what they think of the Panthers.
But again,
age of the game.
These are professionals. This is the NFL. You can't go in presuming anything.
Yeah, even last night, and we were doing this during the week. They were like, I don't understand how the Texans are a 2.5-point underdog to the Jets Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is desperation for the Jets. They needed a win in the worst way, and they were able to get it last night. Now, it was some ugly football with the Jets. But Aaron Rodgers late, you know, he came through for him and was able to pull it out. And, man, the Texans are a pretty doggone good football team in this league. But the Jets were able to run the ball a little bit last night. And Garrett Wilson, man, late in the game, he came through big for him.
So, prediction?
Oh, I think the Saints win and they cover. I've seen nothing from the Panthers to tell me that they may get another win somewhere this season. Tommy, I have no idea where. And, again, I think if they get the win, Andy Dalton will be the quarterback.
You know,
it won't be Bryce. Bryce looks like a deer in the headlights at this point.
It's funny how you can have two highly motivated teams that are in top of the division competing for home field advantage, or you can have two highly motivated teams that are desperate for a win, and that's what we got here.
That's the Diliberto line. Always bet the desperation.
Really?
In this game, both teams are desperate.
Mm-hmm. I hope the Saints win.
Both teams are desperate for a win.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Tommy.
All right, take it easy. We'll listen for you tomorrow at Rouse's with Bobby Hebert in Gulfport. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Ian McNulty. Covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Our favorite time of week as we get to lighten up a little bit, especially with all the Saints' desperation and LSU's off this weekend and a presidential contest. We'll take a break from all that and just talk about having fun eating and drinking with Ian McNulty. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.